days here. And from a distance, yes, it is so beautiful. But soon I put myself in the snow. I don't know how to say what to say about it. And to be honest, this last week, I was wondering, is this the right place to live or not? Honestly. And usually, I'm an outdoor person. I love to do the outdoor stuff. And for the months, somewhat, I am homebound. not much doing things outside, but just home and office. And people come to my office to drive me around and visit people. I love to still visit people. So many of you rescue me from my office and visiting people and meeting people. And Joanne is one of the great driver for me, and then help me to get visit people. And I really do appreciate that. But it's this snow, and especially today, it's a Super Bowl Sunday. If you worship the altar of the professional football, today is the Christmas, today is the Easter, all rolling into one day. And I'm not so sure how church will reflect this social culture we live in. So I'm wondering, in Chicago, how will it be, you know? And Wisconsin is right up there, right? So it is, how is it going to be? And then I was concerning and wondering. And in this morning, while we are, my husband and I pulling our car out of the garage, and we got a call from Reverend Elizabeth. She got stuck on the way. I told her that, don't come and make a U-turn. Don't risk your life. I need to have you at least 10 more years here. So she made a turn graciously, even though her heart is here. So we need to keep those people in our thought and prayer who are behind the wheel in this morning. And also especially those people who are so energetic about football and spaghetti and all the games tonight, today. And I would let them be calm, be conscious, and pay attention to what driving rule they needed to follow and how to defend themselves. And today it is amazing day to have this moment, to be honest. I was wondering how the Sunday will be turning out with this snow in the Super Bowl games in I do not know, but thankfully you made it. And then that mean is, I can only say that, one, you are not a Super Bowl fan. Number two, you are so dedicated to this church and your faith that you make your priority to straight and to show up in this morning. And thank you for straightening out your priority in this morning. Regardless of the weather situation on the street and out there, you made it, and I'm so glad that you came safely and then have a big smile and worship our Lord Jesus Christ together. Today is the second to the last sermon series on prayer. Prayer, we talked about that it is the conversation, talking with God. But we start with the talk to God. And then, but as we are growing in faith in Christ, we are in conversation with God, talk with God, instead of talk to God all the time. It is a two-way conversation. This conversation starts from God, which is called divine invitation we receive. God initiates this conversation. We as a followers of Jesus Christ and Christian, we respond to this call, this invitation. So we are connecting with God and communication line got opened. And then also we talked about direction of prayer, right? And it has a four different direction. The first direction is? This is not a one-time directional conversation we needed to have, but continuously we needed to have. And we practice upward, inward, outward, and onward, made it a cross, right? Theology of cross in prayer, theology of cross in ministry. That is the framework Jesus set it up for us. As an example, we had a Lord's Prayer, which is Jesus offered the prayer for the disciple how to pray, and gives some example. And also last week we said that how to open up this conversation with a stranger, you know, we are not so sure how to open up the conversation with God. We say that we can open up this conversation with adoration and praise. And then say good things about God, good things about myself, and good things about our friends and a community. That is the way to open up this communication channel a little bit larger than a smaller way, in a narrow way. And then that is open up, there is the way to open up the conversation. But today it is a second way, second types of the conversation is a confession and thanksgiving. We praise and praise and praise what is gonna do. Which is good, but is we can have a fancy word and not to have a down to earth conversation. Confession conversation and Thanksgiving conversation bring us down to earth and to see the reality. Unless you open up the conversation, we cannot have a confessional conversation and Thanksgiving conversation, to be honest with you. This one is a little bit of a challenge. People are so good at praising and adoring other people. That is an easy way to talk about. But confessing is really risk your relationship with your partner. Unless you trust people and or your partner, you cannot confess openly. We often have a superficial face, a public face. We usually cover up, right? And then this confessional conversation and Thanksgiving conversation take this veil away and see face to face. And a confession has oftentimes has a connotation just confessing sins. But there is another confessing. It is from the Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And then it goes like this. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One type of confession is confessing your faith, our faith to God. But this confessing our faith does not come naturally. Confessing our sin comes first, and then according to the 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a promise. Confession. We needed to confess our sin first. But without having this trust building with the Lord, with our friend, we cannot confess that easily. And then the building relationship with God is the first thing. That's why we start with the praise, adoration, with the assurance that God will love us. And God said that God will take care of us. That was the promised message. In that conviction, we are opening up our sins and wrongdoings. God, I am not good at this. I do make mistakes here and there. And why? After we confess our sin, we can confess that our faith that Jesus is the Lord, our Savior. And then that there is a different outcome or expectation. When we confess our sin, the expected result out of this confession is the forgiveness, not rebuking, not a punishment, but is the forgiveness. If we do not have this assurance, it is hard to open up our wrongdoings or our mistakes or our sins. And also, without this confessing moment of our sin, we cannot confess our Lord is our Savior and God. That Jesus is Lord, our Lord and Savior. It is the confession of moments of our faith. We cannot confess this one unless we confess the sin. Why God, how God saved us? From what? We need to define who we are. We are the sinner, right? And today's passage is from the Psalm chapter 32, verse 1 and 5. It talks about what happened if we do not confess. And what happened if we do confess. If you have a Bible, please open it up. Psalm chapter 32. It talks about confessing. And the title of Psalm 32 is of Dave A. Maskell. Maskell means Proverbs. And he, through the experience, King David gave us some advice. What happened if we do not confess our wrongdoing, try to hide out? If we confess, what happened? And he contrasted those two. What if, what happened? And what if we do, what happened? And also, this passage emphasizes Selah. Selah means, hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. And then the King David is trying to give us a vivid information and vivid advice to us. If you and I confess our sin, this will happen. Hey, look at this. And also, David is saying that if I did not confess my sin, hey, look at this, what happened to me? Learn from my mistake. Make your own mistake. Do not recycle the mistake I made. Learn from my mistakes. So let's read the verse 1 through 2 first. 1 and 2 only first. Chapter 32 of Psalm, verse 1 and 2. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Blessed is he See, this is when he confessed his sins, this blessing thought and mind came out. And the blessed is the whose transgressions are forgiven. Have you been forgiven in your life? In my life, I made many mistakes, especially towards my mother. She put up with me. And then I remember that when I was 16, I got the first car, and then she said that I needed to be home by a certain time. Hey, I was a typical teen, you know. I was so busy with my life in the community, in my friends, and then I was not able to keep up with the promise I made. And I admit, and she always asked me to be accountable to what I said and what I do. So she brought me up and she said, Sonny, you did not do this, so consequences is yours, and no more car driving for a month. Well, that moment I confess, sorry, I made a mistake. I thought it's that I took I can take the promise casually because I still came home before midnight, you know. But it was not count. My curfew was 7 o'clock that night, and I didn't keep the promise. So I was accountable to that, and because she made me to be accountable, and then also I was a typical teen, and then I was, well, at the time, I moved from Korea to here when I was 15. I had nothing but the energy and blood and hormone and all the things I can do, spirit. And but it's because of my language barrier I start with, I had so much struggle. I have to study more and more. If my friends spending 1 hour to finish up the reading of the one chapter of the book, I had to spend 3 hours and 4 hours. I had a dictionary right hand, and then right in my hand, and then I had to check and balance, make sure that I get the point. And it was hard, but I had energy. I needed to go out. And the only thing I can do at the time was changing the color of my hair. And my mother allowed me to do so because she knew that that's the only thing I can do because I needed to catch up to all the schooling. So every month I had a different color of hair. And every season I have a different color of hair. And then later on I realized that I ruined my texture of hair and decided to like wash it. And she put up with that. I confessed that I needed to do something for myself while I'm doing whatever I needed to do to catch up this life of the school life I needed to catch up. And she accepted. Confessing. And also, when I made a mistake with my brother, and I told my mom first, because I wanted to make sure that my mom is on my side and forgive me to cover me up. And then I do the same things with God. When I do make a mistake, I confess my sin directly to God first, to ask God to forgive me, be on my side. Am I clever or wise or what? And I'm encouraging you to do that. It works. When you do make a mistake, like the Dave, and he tried to hide first, but it didn't work. And do you know what happened when we tried to hide our mistake? Here, verse 3 and 4 of the Psalm 32. You will see what happened to this guy. Verse 3 and 4. Ready? Let's read it. Ready? Go.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, my soul waited for the day of night. My soul waited for
the
day of night. Your hand was heavy upon me.
Selah. Look at this. What happened? When you try to be silent with a mistake and a wrongdoing, have you been in that stage before? Man, my heart pounds, and I can hear my heartbeat more than anything else. And when I made it a mistake, you know, until I straightened out this guilt, I couldn't do anything about it. One thing is that Sunny is not a perfect lady. I just wanted to go let you know. And when I was in high school, my mom got me the lunch money. And she didn't know anything about the high school system in the United States. So I can bypass a lot of different things. And when the school asked me buy stuff and for school supplies, I added a little more dollar to it. And then my mom, probably she didn't know anything about it, and she just trusted me and trusted her money to me, and it just let me do whatever. I created my saving with that money because I would like to buy certain things. And then, you know what? As my saving account is growing and growing, I got nervous. What if my mom found out where I'll gather up this money? And my heart was pounding and stumbling at some point. And there was a sleepless night. By the time I needed to have a certain amount that I can use the money for the things I would like to buy, the things I would like to buy was the dress. And my mom provided all the things, but it's, you know, I would like to buy the certain things, but my mom didn't want me to. So I saved it. And then when I have enough money in my saving account, I told my mom that I needed to confess because I could not stand with the sleep last night. And I told my mom that I lied to her about the amount I needed to buy the supply for the school. And so I grabbed that money and I put it in my saving account here, piggyback bank. You know, that's my saving account at the time. And mom, I saved this much, I cheat on you this much, but Lord loves me and you love me, forgive me. And then she said, all right, I forgive you, but don't lie anymore. Because lying breaks the relationship. Once the relationship breaks, it is hard to restore unless the person in your relationship has unconditional love. Our God, our parents has unconditional love. And I have agony heart when I was kind of hold on to this guilt. And then what happened, verse 5, let's read it. Verse 5 of Psalm 32, ready, go.
When I acknowledge my sin to you,
Stella, look at this. God has unconditional love for us. When we confess, God will forgive us. And if you have any resentment or guilt in your heart, if you are not honest about certain things with someone, check your heart. Your heart and your consciousness telling you that you need to do something about it. Something is a confessing. Confessing your sins or wrongdoings to the person, and you will be free from this guilt. And also, after we confess, the thanksgiving comes on. Psalm 103, it talks about the thanksgiving. And in this Psalm 103, it is designed in the five different sections. And then each section is worship, and then the love of individual person, and then God's love for individual person, and in the community, and the whole world, and worship. This is a five section of the Psalm 103 of the thanksgiving. And when we do that, and this is the thanksgiving process, which means is unless we have a worshiping relationship, we cannot be thankful for ourselves. Think about it. I'm not going to read the passage in here right now because of the time, but it's one thing I wanted to make sure you and I know that if you and I do not know God loves me individually, we cannot see the love of God for the community or my friend and the whole world. That's why it is this Psalm 103 designed the worship and then the love for you as an individual person and the community of faith and the whole world and coming back to the worship. Coming back to the heart of worship is the center. You know, again and again, thanksgiving conversation and the conversation with the Lord. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much your parents love you? Do you think that you are the faithful parents to your kids to let them know that how much you love them? The one of the my vision or my task or my duty, so-called, is love you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to show God's love so you can know that other people are loved by God too. Communion is the example, the vivid visual example. Every month we are doing the communion. Not because we are hungry once a month to have a bread in the service and a juice and a drink and a thirsty. No, not because we are hungry and a thirsty every at least once a month to have a church bread and juice. Not because of that, but try to remind ourselves that how much we are being loved by God through Jesus Christ. By looking at this bread, we are remembering what God did for us through Jesus Christ. Before Jesus died on the cross for us, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave to his disciples and said, "Take it. This is my body which is broken for you. Don't you know that I love you and God loves you? Unless you know that you've been loved by me and God, you cannot call yourself as a disciples of me," Jesus said. "And I love you. Just remember." In the same way, the supper was over. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you for many, for the forgiveness of sin. I'm forgiving you because I love you so much. As I'm forgiving you, you needed to forgive other people. Before you forgive other people, you need to forgive yourself." Jesus knows. Our Father God knows, our Holy Spirit God knows that you and I are not perfect person. God knows that you and I are the full of a human, true human being with a full of mistakes. So let's be forgiving ourselves and of forgiving other people. If you are not sure you are being forgiven, this morning I would just like to encourage you to think about the pain Jesus went through on the cross for us because of love. Because of the forgiveness He would like to offer to you. Let us pray.